Welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We are so glad you're here with us today. As we close out the year, it's such a powerful time to pause and reflect, not just on what's behind us, but on what truly matters moving forward. And that's why Pastor Rick has a timely and encouraging message for you called How Much You Matter to God. So whether this year is filled with joy or challenge, one truth remains. God sees you and loves you and has a purpose for your life. So let's join Rick right now for the final part of this message.
Number three, this is a bigger one. No matter what I've done, Jesus wants me. Whoa. No matter what I've done, Jesus wants me. Now, Zacchaeus' appearance made him feel insecure and lonely, inferior. Zacchaeus' accusers made him feel bitter and resentful. He's pretty mad at society. But Zacchaeus' sins made him feel guilty and ashamed. So Jesus does the most shocking thing of all. He invites himself to Zacchaeus' home. He doesn't wait for an invitation. He takes the initiative and invites himself to the worst guy's home in the city of Jericho. Luke 19. Jesus looked up at Zacchaeus, called him by name, says, Zacchaeus, come down quickly, for I'm going to be a guest in your home today. You think that was a shocker? Now, Jesus knows that Zacchaeus would be filled with guilt and shame and would never think himself worthy enough to have Jesus in his home. Zacchaeus wouldn't even consider inviting Jesus to come to his house. He goes, man, I'm a sinner. I'm no good, man. I'm a cheat. I'm not worthy of having a relationship with Jesus. I'm not good enough to have a relationship with Jesus. I've done too many bad things. I don't deserve to have him in my home. So Jesus takes initiative and he looks up and he says, Zacchaeus, come on down. How long do you think it took him to get out of that tree? I think he probably did it in record time. I think he slid down the tree. I think you're saying, I don't care if I get splinters in my butt. I'm hitting the ground as fast as I can because I've been invited by Jesus to take him to my house. Blew his mind. Now, the fact is, you're ashamed of a lot of things you've done in your life. How do I know that? Because you're a human being. We've all done things that we're ashamed of. I've done things that I'm ashamed of. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short. He's not the only short guy. We've all fallen short. I fall short as a parent. I fall short as a husband. I fall short as a pastor. I fall short as a person. I don't measure up to my standards, much less God's perfect standards, and neither do you. You don't keep all your promises. You don't measure up to all your standards. You fall short. Why? Because all have sinned, everybody. I had a pastor friend who was teaching on that verse one time. He said, thank God he forgives all our falling shorts. And yes, if your shorts fall, he forgives those too. You've done a lot of things you're ashamed of. You've had plenty of time to hurt people with your own personal brand of selfishness. And we all have our own personal brand of selfishness. You hurt people in your selfish way, and I hurt people in my selfish way, and everybody has their own personal brand, but it's all the same. But you know what? Jesus is more interested in changing you than condemning you. He said, I didn't come to condemn the world. I came to save it. It says that in John 3. If you want to be like Jesus Christ, then don't go out condemning the world. Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn the world. I came to save it. And I decided about 30 years ago, I wanted to have a ministry like Jesus. I didn't come to condemn the world. I came to save it. Which means I don't spend any of my time condemning culture. Why? Because Jesus didn't. He said, I didn't come to condemn the world. I came to save it. You see, most Christians spend all their time either condemning the world, saying how badly society sucks, and then B, looking for a political solution to figure out how to get rid of the suckiness. Neither of those work. Spending all your time condemning society won't change it, and looking for a political answer to solve the problems of society won't change it either. God so loved the world, he didn't send a politician. Okay? Why? Because you can't change people's hearts by laws. No law will turn a bigot into somebody who loves all the races. Only Jesus can get rid of racism in your heart. Only Jesus can get rid of selfishness in your heart. No law is going to turn people who are selfish into unselfish people. Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn the world. I came to save it. And so no matter what I've done, Jesus wants me. And he wants you to know him, and he wants you to love him because he loves you, and he wants you to know how much you love him. You remember the story of the prodigal son, the kid who tells his father, Dad, give me my half of the inheritance. And he splits, and he goes to Sunset Strip in Jerusalem, and he spends all of his money on wine, women, and song, mostly women. And he ends up feeding pigs in a pigsty, and finally realizes this doesn't work. So he goes home to his dad with a humble attitude, and smelling of the pigsty, the father runs out to greet his younger son. And he grabs him in a big bear hug and says, my son has come home. Let's have a party. He doesn't say to his son, son, go in, get a bath, get shaved, put on some clean clothes, get rid of that stinking pig smell, and then I'll give you a bear hug. No, he says, I love you just the way you are. Jesus loves you just the way you are. But he loves you too much to let you stay that way. So he's going to help you change. Many of you remember a story I told years ago when I went and visited a prison where we had a Celebrate Recovery Church, purpose-driven Celebrate Recovery Church, up in a maximum security prison in Northern California called Sierra Prison. 6,000 maximum security prisoners. And they had invited me to come speak on the prison yard. And it was about the size of a football field, about 6,000 prisoners. I mean, that was everywhere. And I got out to speak, and I wanted to get everybody's attention, so I pulled a $50 bill out of my wallet, and I held it up, and I said, is there anybody here who'd like this $50 bill? 6,000 hands went up. I crumpled it all up in my hand, and I said, anybody still want this $50 bill? 6,000 hands went up. I took that $50 bill and I tore it and I put little tears all through it. I said, anybody still want it? Every hand went up. I took that $50 bill and I threw it in the dirt and I spit on it. And I took my foot and I crushed it into the ground and I held it up and I said, anybody still want it? Every hand went up. And then I said this, guys, a lot of you, this is what your daddy did to you. Your daddy said, you're worthless. You're crud. You're crap. You're nothing. You're never going to amount to anything. You're going to end up in prison or die. And then your dad walked out on you and you were left to be raised by your mom. And you've been hit on and spit on and crushed in the ground. But you have not lost one cent of your original value to God. I don't really care what you've done. I don't care who you've done it with or how long you've done it. What matters is not where you've been, but what direction your feet are headed today. And Jesus says, no matter what you've done, Zacchaeus, I want you. I want to party with you. I want to have a relationship with you. I want to go to your house and have dinner. I want a relationship with you. And God says that to you. That's how much you matter to God. Yes, you've blown it. Yes, you have. And the starting point to salvation is when you swallow your pride and admit, I need help. I need a Savior. I need God in my life. God doesn't save prideful people. He saves humble, not arrogant people. People who say, I need your help. I've made mistakes. I've blown it. I've done wrong. I've sinned. And I need to turn and go your way. And you've made a lot of mistakes in your life, but you have not lost one cent of your value to the Creator who made you. And Jesus wants a relationship with you. He wants to come to your house and have dinner. In fact, here's what he says, the next verse. I stand at the door of your life. I stand at the door and I knock. And if you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and eat with you and you with me. There's one other great truth. Number four, no matter what others say about me, Jesus affirms me. No matter what others say, Jesus affirms me. They may call me this name or that. They may criticize this or that. They may misjudge this or that. But what matters is that Jesus affirms me. Now, when Jesus goes and he pays attention to the biggest sinner in town, the most hated man that everybody despises, and he says, I want to go to your house. I want a relationship with you. Jesus did the unthinkable, and the reaction is swift and it is immediate. The crowd goes nuts. And in verse 7, all the people saw this interaction between Jesus and Zacchaeus, and they began to complain, Jesus is having dinner with a sinner. Jesus is staying with a sinner. And what's his reaction to that? What does he do? He defends this guy in the front. He defends this guy to the religious, self-righteous people. Next verse, Jesus says, this man is a true son of Abraham. Does that mean he hadn't sinned? No, he's just saying he's one of us. He's going to be in my family. And if you hear my voice, he says, and I, the Son of Man, have come to seek and to save people like him who were lost. He affirms him. He defends him. He protects him. Jesus always did that in the face of criticism from religious people. Now, you may have been coming to Saddleback for weeks or months or maybe even years. And you've never really opened your life to Christ. You know about him, but you've never said, yes, today's your day. Because think about this. Knowing the fact that Jesus sees everything in my life, that he made me, he notices me, he knows my name, he cares about me, and no matter what I've done, he wants me, and he wants a relationship with me. How should I respond to Jesus? The same way Zacchaeus did. Look at the next verse, verse 6. So Zacchaeus came down at once. He didn't wait. He didn't delay. He didn't put it off. So let me have a week to think about it. He came down at once and received him with joy. Have you received Jesus with joy? I love the Message translation. It says Zacchaeus scrambled out of the tree. He opened his heart and his life immediately. Now follow me on this, the logic on this. With a God who loves you this much, with a God who loves, he created you, he made you, he saves you, he's engraved you on the palms of his hands, he wants a relationship with you in spite of all your rebellion. Can you name one logical, rational, intelligent reason for saying no to your Creator? If you can think of any logical, rational, intelligent reason for saying no to the God who made you, loves you, saves you, wants you in a relationship, if you can think of one good reason, stand up and tell us right now. Because I can't think of one. In fact, to reject this is stupid. It's insane. It is the most irrational thing to do, to say, I reject the Creator who loves me that much. It is the only sane approach to life. Now notice the change in Zacchaeus is immediate. Look at the next verse. Zacchaeus, after he's shown this love and grace, he says to the Lord, Lord, I'll give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody, I'll give back four times as much. Now, I want you to circle the phrase, I'll give. He says it twice. I'll give and I'll give. Now, the moment Zacchaeus says that, he was converted. He was saved. The moment he says, I'll give, you say, how do you know that's his conversion? Because the most selfish man in the city became the most generous man like that. And only Jesus can do that. All of a sudden, he's going, how can I help the poor? How can I help other people? How can I pay back the people I've ripped off and cheated? Only Jesus can change a totally self-centered, selfish, it's all about me, and I don't care who I have to put down to get a lot of money and who I have to climb over in order to get to the top. Only Jesus can change that. And have a guy who's going, it's all about me, to how can I help other people? That's his conversion. How do you know when you've really met Christ? I'll tell you how you know. Your attitude toward giving changes. Yep. You become generous. All of a sudden you go, it's not about me. I want to give back. How can I help people? How can I help my neighbors? How can I help the poor? How can I help my family? How can I help the people around me? How can I help people who don't know about Jesus? All of a sudden, you become generous. You become like Christ. And he gives a public demonstration of his change. Jesus asks us to make a public demonstration of our change. You know what it's called today? Baptism. Baptism says, I want the whole world to know that I'm changing on the inside, that he's changing me, that I want to be a different person. I want Christ in my life. Now, I don't know what you're going through. As I said, you may feel like you're out on a limb, relationally or financially or physically. You may feel like you're up a tree. And I invite you to jump out of a tree and into the loving arms of the Savior who made you. Let's bow our heads. Would you pray this prayer? Dear God, just say it in your mind. Dear God, man, I have tried to find my worth on all the false ways. I've judged my value on how I look, my appearance, and on what I own, my affluence. And I've tried to support my value on what I've done, my achievement, and it makes me overwork. And on how well I'm liked, and I've really, in many ways, lived for the approval of other people. Thank you for this story of Zacchaeus. Thank you that no matter how small and insignificant I feel, Jesus, you notice me, everything in my life. Thank you that no matter who ignores me, you know my name. And you have engraved me on the palms of your hand. You've got my picture in your wallet. Wow. Thank you, Jesus, that no matter what I've done, you want me. You want to come to my house. You want a relationship, not a religion, a relationship with me. And thank you that no matter what other people say about me, you affirm me. When people complain about me, you say, this is my child. Today, I do the most logical, rational thing. I surrender to your love. I invite you into my heart and my life and my mind. I want to learn to trust you. Please start making the changes in me. Thank you for not being ashamed of me. I don't want to be ashamed of you. And if I need to be baptized, I want to be baptized to show my joy. In your name I pray. Amen.
Such a great message by Rick today and every day. I sure hope you were just as encouraged as I was. And now, here's Rick with an important message.
Jesus told his disciples that they should live their lives according to five specific purposes. He said, you've got to love God with all your heart, that's worship, and love your neighbor as yourself, that's ministry, that's called the Great Commandment. And then Jesus said, go make disciples, that's evangelism, baptize them into the family of God, that's fellowship, a sign of fellowship. And then he said, teach them to obey everything I've taught you. That's discipleship. And we call that the Great Commission. We believe at Daily Hope that a great commitment to the Great Commandment and the Great Commission will produce a great Christian, a great church, a great company, a great community. You know, I started Daily Hope so I could spread the good news about Jesus, not just across America, but all around the world. And we want people to know that God's Word is filled with hope and truth. And the power that we need to follow Him every day is available to every single one. You know as well as I do that the Word of God changes lives. It's alive, it's active, and it breathes new life and new love into all of our lives. So wherever you listen to this, whether you listen on the website, whether you listen on a radio station, or whether you listen through a podcast, you're a part of the Daily Hope family, and I need your help. We could not do this without your support. We're 100% listener-funded. Would you continue to pray for this broadcast, and would you continue to support us? And write to me. Let me hear from you. I absolutely love reading the stories that are sent to me. So write me, pray for me, and support this ministry. And God will bless it, and God will bless you, and we'll get to heaven, and we'll thank God for all the people going to be in heaven because you cared.
Now, in order to get God's Word out to the world, very generous friends have pledged a matching grant to Daily Hope. And that means any gift you give will be doubled up to $100,000. But we only have until midnight tonight. Yes, anything not matched will be lost, so please, give your best gift today. You can give right now by going to PastorRick.com. Or you can just text the word HOPE to 70309. Again, that's PastorRick.com or just text the word HOPE to 70309. And thank you so much for your support. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.